Well, let's get started in our Bible study this morning, 2 Timothy, kind of picking up midway through the chapter. 2 Timothy verse 14 is where we're going to be picking it up today. You remember we had to move so quickly in our last message, covering through the verses that we covered. I want to just, you know, back up just a little bit, just for just a moment. If you go to verse 7 with me, because there's something real important out of verse 7 that we kind of moved through so quick, we didn't quite catch all of. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy, verse 7 is where we'll be started. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy, verse 7. So I'm backing up. The Bible study is going to really get going at verse 14, but I wanted to share a little bit about verse 7 because we moved through so quick that we didn't quite get this. This is very important. It says, consider what I say. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. This idea of consider, it's like, would be like our idea of muse on this, think about this, contemplate this. You know, for me, when I'm contemplating something, it usually involves asking myself questions or asking questions of what I've read. I'm trying to understand it. I'm trying to get the gist of the thrust of the thought, or I'm just trying to embrace the implication of what was said. It says, consider what I say. And I just think, you know, as we're reading the word, this is where the real value comes in for every one of us. As you read the word, it's not so much the amount of what you read, but what you take away from what you read. And so when you read it, consider what the Lord is saying. Consider it. Muse on it. Think through it. Work through it. Digest it. Think about what's being said. Kind of that meditate on type thing. And then this idea, I love this, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. May God reveal to you, may God reveal to me, us as individual believers, when we read through something, Lord, what does that really mean? What do you want me to walk away with from this? Now, for me, and I would encourage you to do the same, when we get together in Bible studies like this, wherever I'm sitting in a Bible study, I'm at a conference, or I'm sitting around in a, because our conferences consist of Bible studies. That's what they are. They're just like this. And when I'm at those kinds, I ask the Lord, this is exactly what I think about. Lord, I just want to hear what you want to speak to my heart this day. I want to know you more intimately. I want to walk more closely with you. And I want to know things about you that would reveal you more clearly to me. I want to have more understanding of who you are. I want to be more intimate with you. So I think this verse kind of sums that thought up. And Paul telling Timothy that. So as we're reading through and we're thinking through the things, because he said, goes on and talks about, hey, the significance of just the gospel message itself, the good news. And we talked about last week that Paul said, my gospel. And we talked about, hey, that's personal. That's something. And we worked through that thought a little bit and thought, man, we should be able to say that ourselves. It's my gospel. It's my good news. And you and I as individual believers should be able to say, that's my gospel, my good news. It's from the Lord. It's good news that God has provided for us, but it's personal to me. I have good news to share with someone else. And then he goes on and he kind of talks about the specifics of some of that, what the gospel is like. And we sang about God's faithfulness today, and I love that in verse 13. If we are faithless, even when we fail, because we do, even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. That is part of the nature of God, part of who God is. He is faithful. Isn't that great? That the Lord never changes, you know, that he is always, always faithful. Regardless if you're faltering here and there, God doesn't. God is always faithful. And then Paul says in verse 14, remind them of these things, all of those things that were just spoken of, and a few of the things down below that we're going to talk about this morning, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. So this idea, kind of a transitional verse there in verse 14, grabbing a hold of what was just said, remind about the significance of just the good news, the message of the gospel itself, the my gospel individually for us, what we've gotten, we're the beneficiaries of this. Remind them of these things. Again, charging them for the Lord. And then he says not to. So remind them of this good stuff here. But also don't forget, don't get caught up in striving about words or this is, and this is, man, I see us in an age where this is just, everything's hung on that, you know? You know, well, what did you really mean by what you said? I mean, there's so many groups using words that we know to mean something and using them to mean something different. I see this all the time. And the standard is just not as standard as it used to be. And it creates a bit of confusion sometimes, you know, as to what is the implication then? You know, what's being implied by the words that are used. But the idea is don't strive about words to no profit. And again, to the ruin of the hearers. He'll amplify this and talk about it a little bit further, but I have found this to be so important as Christians. This is really important. Brothers and sisters, if you grab this, you've got a good nugget when you walk away to think on. The time that we spend discussing, especially with other believers, non-important things, while other people around us are listening, it does not impart good things to them. Look at what it says, to the ruin of the hearers. So we've been entrusted with a bit of a responsibility then, haven't we, about the discussions that we have. And I can just give you example after example after example of when I was in the world and familiar with God, knew God, but was not walking close with God at all. I was living in the world. I was living a worldly lifestyle. I was partying all the time. This is before I gave my life back to the Lord. And I remember listening to Christians debating issues and listening to them debate these issues and talk about these issues. And it was all kind of heated and, you know, and I'm going to give you some examples, and some of them, you know, might bite you a little bit, but it's okay. It won't kill you. It just might sting a little bit, but it won't kill you. Let's use one. Once saved, always saved. You know, this is one that floats all over the place all the time, and, you know, yeah, I believe it, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. I agree with that. I believe that. But the Bible also says, I can argue both sides of that is my point. Scripturally, I can argue both sides of it. So where does that paradox, these parallel truths, you know, where do they come together? Where does that connect in the heart and mind of God? Well, to me, that's a non-issue right now. Because my objective is to find out how close I can get to God, not how much I can sin and still be saved. And I find usually that's the latter that usually is the issue. And sometimes we're trying to justify because other people that we love and care about aren't flying right at all. They're not living for the Lord. They're not walking close with God. And we try and justify our view so that we can feel better about ourselves because they're really not walking with God. And we don't want to think that if something happened to them, they would perish or anything. I understand all this. I understand the thoughts of all this. But that is something to work through between you and the Lord. You make a public forum out of that stuff, and we look lame. I used to just think, when I'd hear people talking like that, I'd think, oh man, that's just stupid. That's what I thought when I was in the world. That is just stupid. It just pushed me even further away from God. I don't want to be a part of this kind of stuff. It's just dumb. But you get the idea. We start disputing these things in front of other people who aren't walking with the Lord, and it makes us look really goofy. It makes us look disconnected. And look at, they can't even get along. You know? They can't even figure it out. Why do I want to be a part of that? We just don't think about how the enemy uses that a lot of times. This is kind of part of the implication in this, to give us understanding. You know, that's part of what's being implied right here, is that we wouldn't get caught up in that. Now, he gives us a good thing on how to help ourselves with this. Look at verse 15. Very famous verse, something a lot of us are familiar with. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Isn't it interesting that we've just talked about these different roles, you know, the soldier. You know, you think when the soldier pulls out his sword, he's not going to want to rightly divide? right? You know, you can think about the different things that are going on, the worker, the diligent farmer. You think about the different things that were described in there. But this isn't a hacking away at things, okay? This is a precision thinking. A precision like more like a scalpel or the use of a fine, sharp instrument, you know, in rightly dividing. So, if you can rightly divide, wouldn't you conclude that you must be able to wrongly divide? And this is where the rub sets in, isn't it? Because the idea oftentimes is, oh, well, that's how you see that scripture. No, that's how that scripture reads. That's what that scripture says. And I think we should be able to be confident that the Bible says this. It's not just this, because the Bible says of itself, it's not there for private interpretation. That's not what it is. Now, I understand there's varying views on certain texts and certain things. Okay, fine. But the bulk of Scripture and the bulk of the heart of God, the intent of what God's purpose is, should be something we should be able to have some semblance of agreement on, you know? It's part of the foundation of faith itself. We see we have the same Holy Spirit. So there may be things that we'd say, yeah, you know, I just don't quite see it that way. Okay, that's fine. But there's other things we can't just say. There's a way to rightly divide the truth, the word, so that we can extract the truth. We take cultural information, right? We take cultural things that help us to understand stuff, historical things to help us to understand what's going on. I think if you're trying to interpret the Bible and you don't have the Holy Spirit activated in your life, you're going to have a real problem. You know, it's going to be real difficult. Because we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit illuminates for us, sheds light on, or helps us to be able to understand what it says. I like this idea. Not only are we to be diligent in this, but we're diligent to present ourselves to whom? Because so much of what goes on is done in who is the presentation for. You see what I mean? And so some people perceive their audience, you know, to be just people. Some people perceive their audience, you know, to be this thing that they're supposed to be putting on an entertainment thing, or they're supposed to be doing, you know, and this is where it gets confusing as to what the role is as believers. Who is our audience? Who is it? We only have one master, you see. We only have one that we really need to please. And so here it says, to present yourself approved to God. That's who I want to be approved by. To be approved by man is a small thing, isn't it, really? To have people like what you say or like what you believe, that's a small thing, really, compared to having God be pleased with who you are and what you're doing and how you're living and what you're teaching and what you're believing in. You know, it's better to have God see you in that light, that we're approved by God. And because the thing is, we learned in Corinthians when we were studying through that there's going to be a day of inspection and to look at what we've done. Do you remember that? Remember, some people are going to have bonfires, wood, hay, and stubble, right? And some of it, the things that we did that were motivated by the Lord, remember the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ? That's for believers to come. Now, what's being judged is what you did with your gospel. What did you do with the information you have? What did you do with the word? What did you do with the love that was put in your life? What did you do with whatever was entrusted to you? What did you do with that in the kingdom, in the furtherance of the kingdom? What did you do with that? That's individual. That's personal. That can become marital as well. Because God entrusts things to you as a couple, as a family, God can entrust things to you. But individually, what did you do with what was entrusted to you? That is what the inspection or the looking at or looking into is. Think about this. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But it is this, that they would not be ashamed, who does not need to be ashamed. That means that there's someone's going to look at this. Now, having built a lot of things and done a lot of, you know, built a lot of stuff, I know that there's times where you have inspections, right? There's times where the inspection comes and they look and they see, did you do this or build this with accuracy? You better hope and pray that the company that Randy works for is doing their stuff with accuracy, because they guide the jets that land right into the, I'm not kidding you, it's all part of the systems that land the jets all until about the last foot or foot and a half before the wheels hit the ground. They're all computerized. And they guide the planes all the way in, and it's all done by radar and stuff, and they track the plane, they bring the plane through. We hope that there isn't some faltering in the electronics on that, right? I'm hoping they're doing inspections. I mean, we just got to trust that what he says is actually happening there. I don't know. But you get the idea that there's a process or something that's going to be reviewed or looked at. When we get to the Bema seat, that's what's going to be. Hey, what did you do with what I entrusted to you? You know, what did you do with that? And we want to not be ashamed, right? No, I did this, and, you know, and but it's all based on the motivation of the heart, isn't it? What motivated you? Again, it goes back to this idea, who's your audience? You see, the idea is if we are motivated to do these presentations and entertaining and all this stuff, then, you know, you get the applause and there you have it. That's it. That's the bonfire stuff. That's the stuff that's going to go up wood, hay, and stubble. It's just going to burn. The things that we did motivated by the Lord, by the power of His Spirit, and that we did energized, okay, with the unction of the Spirit, those are the things that are actually going to matter, that are really going to count for something. The things that we did in the Lord, motivated by the Lord, are the things that are going to be really of great value. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we don't want to get caught up in unnecessary strifes about words. He then goes on and says in verse 16, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Profane and idle babblings. Just think about that. All you have to do is just think about the words profane and idle. Just useless talk of nothingness. They increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. He says, yeah, you know, there's a couple of guys that are even involved in this. You know? He says, and they're a part of that. They will increase to nothing, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. So this is what went on. Kind of a rough idea of what went on. Well, you know, I know what Paul says. I know what he teaches and stuff. This is Hymenaeus and Philetus, okay? I'm being one of those guys. Oh, I know what Paul says, you know, and you know, but you know, that's not really the way it is. That's not really what happens. That's not really what's going on. In other words, they're propagating something other than what's being taught. It's not sound. It's not healthy. And what happens is you get caught up hanging out with that, listening to that, absorbing that. It starts to pollute your vantage point of Paul. Now you start thinking, well, Paul's kind of off a little bit, some stuff. When he's not off on anything, but it's just these other people are propagating that, and it gets into your mindset. And this is why we've got to be very careful when people start talking idle chatter and stuff. And they don't know what they're talking about, but they start talking about it as if they are an authority on it. Because it leads to the ruin of other people. It's destructive. It's not productive. And largely know nothing of what they speak. They've strayed concerning the truth, is what Paul says. So they've deviated from the course of sound doctrine and the truth of God's word. And then even went as far as to say that the resurrection is already passed. Sorry, man, you missed it. You missed the resurrection. What kind of hope does that give this new Christian that, oh my gosh, the resurrection's already happened, so now what hope is there for me if that's already happened? This is It's confusing, it's destructive. And they overthrow the faith of some, get people off track from what God's doing in their life. This is very important because it creeps in whenever there's more than one person involved in any kind of a gathering. If you're just by yourself, you don't have this kind of problem to any great extent, unless you're multiple personalities. But you don't have this issue, right? But you get more than a couple people going, and all of a sudden it starts getting this, ideas of things, propagating things that aren't based on truth. Paul says, man, it's so important that we stay sound. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. This is verse 19. The Lord knows those who are his. I really like this. God knows who belongs to him. God knows those who are on track. Because to be honest with you, these profane and idle babblings not only increase to more ungodliness, but as their message spreads like a cancer, it ends up being divisive, doesn't it? It's divisive. It's destructive to God's purpose and God's plan. And that's not God's heart. That's not God's desire. But the solid foundation of the Lord stands, having this seal, this mark on it. The Lord knows those who are his. And then it says, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Or turn away from sin, sinful behavior, sinful activity. Gives this example now of how this might play out. In a great house, or basically this can be in reference to the church itself. There are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. So, the idea is this. They had vessels that they used, some for cooking and so on. They had vessels, pottery vessels, things that they used for a thing. Now, it's like us today. You and I do not put... And this is really the implication. You and I do not put our toilet bowls in our living rooms. Do we? Now, I know some of you put them out in your front yard for planters and stuff, but no, we're not allowed to do that around here. But there are places where we see these things. And that's not too far from here. But the idea is, though, is that we don't do that, right? That's not an honorable vessel in that sense, right? And you kind of get what... And then he goes on. So now you're kind of getting the picture of the word picture that's being painted for us. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, what is he talking about? Cleanse himself from what? Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Stay away from sinful conversations. Stay away from, backbiting stuff. Stay away from gossipy trash. Stay away from it. You want to be a vessel for honor, not for dishonor, because what you will become is the toilet bowl. You get it? That's what's being said to us. Is you and I, if we engage in all that and take that in, you become the toilet bowl. All the garbage that no one else wants is being eliminated into you. Kind of graphic, but not something we really want to be a part of. I don't want to be a part of that. So he says, depart. Turn away from that kind of stuff. Get away from that kind of stuff and fly in with a good group that's staying focused on the right thing. What was the main thing? The gospel. Stay focused on the gospel. It doesn't matter to me how lovely and nice some people can seem or be. If this is the type of conversation, I want to stay away from that. That's only going to be destructive. It's not healthy. It's not productive. This is what Paul's saying. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also then youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. He says, hey, look, you know, be a person who is prepared to be used by the master in a good way, in a productive way. That's what we want to be prepared for. Flee youthful lust. And it's interesting that he's talking to someone that's maybe pushing late 30s, pushing 40 now. And Paul's saying, hey, flee youthful lust, because this is the problem with youthful lust. Youthful lusts are not a respecter of age. They're just youthful lusts. Okay, you get it? It's not just connected to an age. We kind of connect it only to an age, but it's not connected to an age. It's just stay away from those things that were lame and you're doing them when you were younger. Don't repeat that. Just flee from that. Stay away from that. Because they can still be enticing no matter how old we are. That's the truth. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. And then notice this, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Basically, it's saying, turn away from one thing, but pursue something else. It's kind of like repentance, right? Repentance means to turn away from and then pursue something else. So flee the youthful lust, but then he says, pursue this other. And it's interesting, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So as we gather together, that's what's supposed to be going on as we get together as Christians. We're wanting to pursue these things: righteousness, faith, love, peace. And this is our heart, who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's who we want to be. You know, sometimes we need that. We think sometimes, well, you know, I don't know that I can, you know, be out in my, you know, John boat and, you know, by myself, and I can spend a lot of great time with God and stuff, and so I really don't need to go to church on Sundays and this kind of thing. That's, you know, cowboy religion stuff. You know, we all know, we've all hear all this stuff all the time. Surfer religion does the same thing. So, you know, hunters, fishers, everybody, we all use the same, it's the same thing. Same story is told, right? I can connect with God. Not, I don't doubt that you can connect with God, but the thing is, we do need each other. And I think that nature, God has given us in creation a great example of that. You know, the Canadian geese, they fly in that, we start watching them. Have you guys been seeing them? They're starting to fly in the V formations. They're starting to go south, and they fly in that big V formation. They rotate every so often. They rotate out of the lead position. And why do they rotate out of the lead position? Because when they fall back behind each other, they draft. And when they draft, they use 60% less of their energies. And that's why they can just keep going and keep going and keep going. So they rotate through their place. So this is what happens. You may come in one day and you may be flying high. No pun intended, necessarily. But you may be doing really good in your walk with the Lord, right? Things are going pretty good in your walk. Now, someone else might come right alongside you and say, man, I've been having a rough week. Let them draft, man. You know? Let them share with you what's been going on. And you say, man, cool, let me pray with you. You know? The Lord is good either way, so let's pray. Because there may be a time when you come in, and you may need to come kind of come in alongside and just draft a little bit, right? Use a little, maybe, because you only got 40% you're running on right now, right? And that happens. So the idea is, when we gather together, we need each other. We need the fellowship of one another. And to be able to connect with, and hey, we're all going the same direction. We're wanting to pursue these good things. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. So when there's some dispute over some stuff, all you do is be peaceable. Try and share the best you can and communicate as effectively as you can. And the hope is that those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, they may walk in the truth and experience the truth. That's the hope, right? That's the way it really should go, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the enemy or the devil, having been taken captive by them to do his will. Isn't that the fact when we see disputes and things like this that generate strife, that lead to divisive behavior and functions and thinking, is that really, I really believe that people get easily taken captive by the enemy in this, because the flesh is a powerful tool. The flesh, this tent that we live in and this mind that we have and this actions that are there with us as people, you know? And we have to constantly, as Christians, I think, keep that kind of dealt with so that what does the Bible tell you to do with the flesh for you and me? What are we supposed to do with the flesh? Crucify it? So that's pretty much pretty final, right? Put it to death, right? It doesn't say pacify it. It doesn't say entertain it. It doesn't say contemplate it. It doesn't say, oh, muse on that a little bit. As a matter of fact, we're to do the opposite, aren't we? Put it to death. Pursue the things of the Lord, man. That's what we're to do as Christians. So that's really, you kind of see this whole focus shift, because, you know, we think, oh, divisions and all of this stuff, that's kind of a modern church issue. Boy, you better start reading your Bible. Sectarianism is a whole statement in the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians. Oh, well, I'm of Apollos. You know, they talk about, oh, I'm of so-and-so. Well, and the real cool ones? Oh, but we're of Jesus, you know. We're Christians. That was what Paul says. Hey, there's only one foundation we can build on, and that is Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, the gospel itself. That's the foundation that we can build on. That should be our focus. Not on this whole, oh, well, you know, gosh, what about this? And I'm not sure, you know, I don't know about that. Putting this doubt and implication on things that go on within the body or within the ministry itself. We see this all the time. It's not brand new. But you and I have a responsibility as Christians to guard our hearts and be careful, because I have yet to see anyone that behaves this way actually go on to lead a productive Christian experience without radical repentance. God holds this stuff very seriously. And we in our world kind of poo-poo it and don't make much of it. But man, God holds it very, very seriously. It really does matter. And you say, well, Pastor, what about, you know, people come and go, they go to different, yeah, I understand that. If God is drawing, we belong to the Lord, right? All of us as Christians, we belong. And so the Lord can draw us into a place and kind of draw us out to another place. The Holy Spirit has free reign to do that. That's not what I'm speaking of. So I don't want to be misunderstood. That's not what I'm speaking of. I'm speaking of those, there's the right way to come in and the right way to go out. That's the way it works. There's a right way to come in and a right way to go out. And we have to check our hearts to make sure that we're coming and going the way we're supposed to come and go, right? And so when we see some of this stuff, I caution you, be wise, be cautious as a believer. And it's because we're right here in this text that we're talking about it. It's right in front of us. And these are the issues. This is what Paul's dealing with. You know, divisive mentality, divisive behavior that leads to really just confusion and something that's unproductive. God's called you and me to be a part of solutions, hasn't he? To be a part of a solution. If there's something that you've got questions about or you'd like to see something different, but what happens if you're in the flesh with your stuff? And what happens if someone says, well, you know, I understand that, but the Bible says this. Now that weight lies on you, doesn't it? So this is why I recommend really being cautious to think through and pray through. Make sure your heart's right before the Lord. Because I found for me, most of the time, God wants to deal with me. You know, God wants to deal with my heart, my position, my vantage point of who he is in a situation. And that's what Paul's talking about in this. Man, we want to be a vessel that's used for honor, for good. We don't want to have this trail of everywhere we've been, we've kind of left this little divisive snare where we've been, right? I don't want to be named for that. None of us want to be named for that. God wants to do a great work, and he wants to do it through vessels of honor. Flee youthful lusts. Go away from, you know, turn, let anyone, everyone, I love this, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is just sin. Turn away from it. Just turn away from it. And God will honor that in your life.